B-Pod Studios.
How other like cultures handle the sport, because we have our way that it's been done here forever. It's just kind of hang out, eat peanuts and hot dogs and drink some beers, and it's good. And it's just chill, and you hear that conversation of the crowd in the background until you hear the crack of the bat and the ball's flying out. But I'd like to see a game in Japan. That would be cool. I think that's neat.
Yeah, they do all, you know, the rituals of it. It's, and, you know, they sing, they're a different hitter, they have a, you know, all kinds of stuff. It's fun. Then they do their, you know, they have the noodles in the stands. That's what they eat.
Oh, so they got like the ramen, like, yeah. Not the old, but not like the crappy ramen noodle like we have.
No.
Yeah, this weekend for that Miami series, too, how about Velasquez, Eflin, and Vargas going?
Yes.
Boy, I got to set the DVR in case I got to go to the bathroom or something. I can't miss a pitch.
Velasquez,
Eflin, and Vargy.
And think about this.
You're number two.
Think about this for a second. I realized this yesterday because.
We talked about this.
Aaron Nola, they announced that Aaron Nola will continue to pitch on 5 days rest from now until the end of the season. They're not going to move any of his starts around, so he will pitch game 162 if necessary, right? If they already are in the wild card before game 162, they'll hold him for the one-game playoff. But if game 162 is a must-win situation, Aaron Nola will get the start. And if he wins, that means your season is dependent on Jason Vargas for the one-game playoff, or Vince Velasquez?
Well, as the rotation goes now, it's Smiley, Velasquez, but you got to see how it plays.
Think about that. Yeah.
You know, with Charlie back, it gets me like a little bit excited and palatable. But they don't have the pitching to
Charlie can't pitch.
Listen, the Cubs, first of all, Nationals are a lock for the one wild card.
Yeah.
And I think the Cubs take the other.
I don't know. Nationals lost yesterday. Phil's now just three back of that first wild card spot.
Did you see the weekend there, or the last few days? Just putting up ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
They scored with 17 one night or 14 one night.
Dodgers scored like 16 last
night.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I mean, look, these other teams are just way better than them.
Yeah.
They're just way better lineups. They pound the ball. They have better pitching. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
I brought this up yesterday. When you look at the wild card, Washington's got that number one spot right now. And they're plus 78 in the run differential. The Cubs, that number two spot, plus 72. The Phillies are tied with the Mets. The Mets are plus 23 in run differential in the season. The Phillies are minus 17.
Yeah.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's a telling number.
It is, but when you look at their pitching, it's hard for them to be in the plus column.
Mm. Have you ever seen a number like this, by the way? The Baltimore Orioles are 40-86 in the season. They are minus 250.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
In run differential.
Well, here's the problem. Their pitching is, so bad that their bullpen's utter trash, right? So the Yankees hit all those home runs against them, and you know they give up those 14 runs, like you're giving up those ridiculous numbers. That's what makes the run differential out of whack, and that's why the Phillies, because how many times do position players have to pitch? That all makes it impossible to be a plus on run differential.
Now the scary thing about that is that the Phillies' longest win streak of the year is four games. The Orioles actually have a four-game win streak as well. Their biggest.
Really?
But that speaks again to what? Pitching.
Yeah.
So last week when you were still down in Florida and they named Charlie, and I wish you would have been here when it happened because we know how tight you are with Charlie and the whole thing. But so they named Charlie and they come out his first night in the dugout. They explode for 11 runs. So I came in the next day. You weren't here. And I wasn't a wet blanket. I was excited about the 11 runs. But I wasn't going to change my expectations on the Phillies based on one game because Charlie was in the dugout. Because the fact of the matter is you still have that pitching rotation. The bullpen's still a mess. And they're still inconsistent. Maybe they'll hit better. Maybe Charlie's got a magic elixir. He saved some of the magic dust from the 08 season, right? Okay. But I wasn't going to change my expectations because of the addition of Charlie. And you would have thought that I was Satan on that day. I got murdered.
Did you?
Murdered. And then the next night, Harper goes out and hits the Grand Slam walk-off, right? So I'm enemy number one.
And I'm stirring the pot.
And he him and Tyrone are there with foam fingers, the big thing that holds the beer, the big hand that holds the beer.
Club Tyrone was rocking.
Oh, Club Tyrone, kidding me? They had the disco ball down.
We both had Harper jerseys on because I filled in for TV that day.
Did you really?
So we both wore the Harper jersey.
Yeah, it was a rave. I mean, it was like an all-night rave. You know what I mean? And these guys are free, and everybody, and I was Satan. And people, I got tons of tweets saying, man, Cuz needs to be there to kick you in line. You should be excited. Was I right in tempering, not based on hindsight, but was I right in basing, you know, kind of tempering my enthusiasm based on one baseball game?
I think
game.
You looked at it intelligently, right? Mm-hmm. So I think you looked at it and went, you know, they'd settle on the pitching to be a true contender. I'm going to be honest with you, because I was following along that game, the Harper game, on my phone at Disney World. And
Thursday night.
I got fired up. Like, I was excited. Like, I got excited in that, and here's what I did. I suspended disbelief. Like,
You're down in Disney. It's a perfect place.
Like, I agree with you. They don't have the pitching. I've been saying it, you know, all really since May. I was like, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe there is something in the water. Maybe Charlie does have some kind of impact. Who knows, right? Yeah. Like, it's the Nick Foles equation, right? Yeah. Like, who knows? Maybe something happens. Like, I know that they don't have pitching, but maybe they get, like, ultra hot. That's the biggest, I guess, the biggest disappointment is that their lineup hasn't gotten on fire and carried them for, like, an 8-game winning streak.
Yeah, hasn't been.
Like, when they beat Paddock, right, Friday night, Chris Paddock is their best pitcher, yep. Padres' best pitcher. So they beat Chris Paddock, and I'm looking, I'm going,
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm going. Well, they're gonna win Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, six in a row.
And then they give you nothing.
Yeah,
Lamet, who was Sunday?
Lucchesi.
Yeah, it was hard.
They had four hits off of him.
Yeah.
And then Gabe Lawton the 27 pitches in the ninth.
Casey's a junk lefty.
Or Gabe, rather.
And you go, like, how did... That's the most disappointing thing.
Yeah.
Listen, I know the pitching isn't any good, so I get it. But I thought the lineup would be able to get hot at some point and carry them.
Yeah. See, when I came in on Friday after the Grand Slam, I was in a wet blanket. I suspended this like you did, too. And I just said, hey, look, maybe they are going to get on fire. But it's incumbent upon them this weekend to keep it going. Because now you've got kind of a clean start, a fresh slate. Maley was the fall guy. Right. Maybe that relieves some kind of pressure and they can move forward. But then you go out and like you said, they lose 2 out of 3 to the Padres. And you're going, okay. One step forward, two steps back.
And it's just like that White Sox series. Going to that White Sox series, they were 15 games under 500. And you're like, all right, this is the series where they take advantage of a bad...
Yeah, because
I thought they were going to take advantage of a bad team and then get on a little bit of a hot streak. And then they lose 2 of 3 to the White Sox, including that 15-inning game.
Yeah, that was terrible.
And then the same thing. I was with you. I was saying it to you, Jason. I was like, all right, if they beat Paddock, they're sweeping this series.
Yeah.
And then they come out like that the next two games. And it's like, all right, what is this team?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, too.
That was the biggest disappointment to me, was the fact that you come out and you can't go beat the Padres. But again, I don't know. Is it the fact that this lineup, it's Gabe doesn't have the touch? Like, it's, again, we talk about Hoskins.
There's no urgency.
He wants Hoskins leading off because he wants Hoskins to take pitches.
Yep.
Because he looks at it and goes, well, I don't have a leadoff hitter. So I know Reese will take pitches. But you're wasting a huge RBI guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're wasting a run producer.
And you're having a hard time scoring runs.
And he's a run producer who doesn't need to be walking, who doesn't need, you know, to go up and take pitches. I get it. Like, you want to see what a guy throws. I mean, that's what a leadoff hitter does, right? Take pitches. You see what the guy has. You get some intel for the rest of your lineup, right? That's why you take pitches. You want to see him. You want to wear him down. You want to see, but you really want to see what he's got.
Yeah.
You're wasting a run producer. So I don't know if the reason why they can't get hot and stay hot is because Gabe does not have the touch.
Yeah.
His
philosophy is fundamentally flawed.
He can't read his team.
Yeah.
Listen, I understand that, you know, the four hitter isn't the four hitter anymore, and leadoff guy isn't the leadoff guy. But these lineups are absurd.
Yeah.
And why is he playing Knapp?
Yeah.
Like, why? Real Muto, you have 2 days off.
Yeah.
All right? 2 days off. Why would you play Knapp last night against Boston?
It makes no sense. They got away with it.
They beat a bad Brian Johnson, who's terrible. And they lucked out. And they only scored 3 runs. If not for Nola.
In the first inning.
If not for Nola, you know, they would lose that game.
Well, I texted you during that game regarding Andrew Knapp
sucks.
Because there was another moment. It was a 3-2 ball game, and Mookie Betts was on first base. He stole second, and he got there easily because Knapp bobbled the ball.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, like, I get
it's terrible.
In the history of baseball, most teams had a backup catcher who couldn't hit a lick but was actually pretty good defensively, and that's why he made the ball club. Andrew Knapp doesn't do anything well.
Yeah,
he's fast. That's all he's got. He's fast.
Yeah, you're not looking for your catcher to be fast either. You know what I mean? You're just not.
Do you understand those lineups?
No.
They make
and
no
so
sense.
I, you know, people make excuses. Well, he doesn't have pitching. It's true. But what he does, what is he good at, Kapler? I don't know. What does he tell me?
I think he did make a good decision yesterday, pulling Aaron Nola, because I feel like all of us wanted to see Aaron Nola go another inning, because even though he was already around 100 pitches, and he pulled him, and he went Alvarez, and then Morin, and got to the eighth inning, and it worked.
Yeah.
So I will give him credit for that.
You have to be careful with Nola here, too, because you can't rag him out.
Yes.
So your usage on him has got to be monitored
but
very closely.
But I'll give him credit because I wanted Nola to go back out there because he's the ace of the staff, and I want him to keep on pitching.
Just to win every start that he has the remainder of the season.
But Gabe made the decision to pull him and go to the bullpen, and it worked out. And I'll give him credit for that one. That's pretty much it.
So is that where we're at? Where the guy the guy rags out and then he made the right decision. That's fine.
Yeah, that's chalk, by the way.
So why you laud that now? Like, well, oh my God,
I'm not lauding it.
But it's the thing. Like, are we now at that?
That's a feather in his cap.
Every time he does something good, we gotta go crazy about it.
Mm. I gotta ask you coming up because Paul Hagan wrote this story. I talked about it yesterday, and about how Charlie came to be the hitting coach for the team. And one of the things that Paul Hagan floated was it wasn't just like Charlie watching the game with Middleton. And I think that Middleton had everything to do with it. But it was also maybe Bryce Harper was involved in these conversations as well.
I can't totally see that.
Because I saw that embrace. The Bryce-Charlie embrace. That was a hug like I haven't seen you since the holidays of 1983.
Yeah.
And we're back together and it feels so good. 610-632-0975. We'll get back to the phone. Sorry, everybody on hold. We'll get back to it. There's so much to get into today here on the Midday Show with Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez, including the fact that I got to tell you about Window Nation, because we are in a heat wave once again today and tomorrow, maybe the last couple of days of this particular heat wave. But the heat, well, it causes your leaky windows to produce unnecessary high energy bills. The cold weather is going to do that eventually as well. It allows damaging UV rays to fade your valuables and make your windows even less effective. So here's the deal. Listen up. Maybe the kid's still at camp. Maybe you got a vacation still. Well, my friends at Window Nation, the ones with more than 80,000 satisfied customers, including me, and an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating, well, they have extra capacity right now and have to keep the factory busy, the installers working. So how about the deal we're going to give you? One window free for every window you buy with no minimum or maximum purchase required. Now, that's on all styles of windows. Plus, no down payment, no payment of any kind, and no interest for a full 24 months, 2 years. So buy now, start saving now, and literally pay nothing for 2 years. Trust the window company I trust. Visit windownation.com or give them a call at 866-90-NATION. You'll get one free window for every window you buy. Again, no limit, and no down payment, no payments of any kind, and no interest for 24 months. It's a great deal. So visit windownation.com or call 866-90-NATION. Tell them Jason sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
What up? It's going to be fun, man. Good. Meet and greets with AI, meet and greets with Tobias, Deshaun, we're going to get to see.
How about D-Jax? That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Really cool.
Yeah, we got some high-level A-listers in the world of Philadelphia sports. It's going to be a lot of fun coming up Saturday, 1 to 5, Xfinity Live, all presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. We're going to have a great time. And it looks like, Ann, we've got some great weather on tap.
Yeah, it's supposed to be gorgeous,
like 80 degrees, no humidity. It's going to be great. And you're going to roll right out of there, roll right to the your favorite tavern and watch a little college football. It's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah, it will be.
And we're getting closer and closer, Ant, to opening day. Preseason game number 3 tomorrow. Joint practices with the Ravens have concluded. John Harbaugh, of course, in town, former Eagles special teams coach, has done real well for himself with the Ravens, and we'll see how it plays out. Did you get a chance to see Hard Knocks last night?
No, I did not. How was it?
I thought it was another good episode. I was really disappointed in episode number 1.
Mm-hmm.
I thought episode 2 rallied. It was pretty good. And I thought last night was a really solid episode. I thought they did a nice job on it. And they brought in, I know you don't like this, but they brought in Frank Caliendo to imitate Gruden in front of the team, which was pretty funny. So, but it was entertaining. I thought it was good. It was good access. I thought the game footage was good. Yeah, I know you're not a Caliendo guy. It was a really good episode, I thought, and a good insight because of all the drama with Antonio Brown once again. And he's filed another grievance, and Drew Rosenhaus is on the episode, and he claims, I think he's talking to Gruden, and he's saying, I think we got a loophole where we can get this helmet, and it's just, what a mess, man. This guy's such a diva. He's a great player. There's no doubt about that, but imagine dealing with that mess.
Yeah, no, I
because there was a thirst for Antonio Brown here when he was available, if you recall, from a fan base.
Yeah, I mean, but that was unrealistic.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to come here.
All right, let me throw another thing in before we get back to the phones. Did you see the Jerry Jones comments when asked about Ezekiel Elliott? And he said, Zeke who?
Zeke
did not find that funny.
Those guys, there are three guys all have contract issues.
Yep.
And they signed Jalen Smith all that money.
Yeah, they give him what $37.5 million guaranteed. A linebacker.
They could be.
They're in trouble, man.
They could be.
Yeah. And when he says Zeke, and he says it, you know, tongue in cheek, kidding. Yeah. You know, he's Jerry being Jera. But the agent for Zeke said he was not happy with it. It was disrespectful, and cited his client saying it was very disrespectful as well. Is Zeke on the opening day roster?
Yes.
For the Dallas Cowboys, they get it done.
Yes.
No training camp, though? What's he going to be? Can hurt a guy. I mean, he's training, but...
I think he is. I think he's there.
You think that he's effective, though? Because if he's not effective, that quarterback is not a guy that can exactly pick up the slack. They're talking about paying him $40 million, too.
Yeah, I mean, they could definitely scuffle out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think they have the Giants week one.
I think they know they have to have Elliott.
Yeah, he's everything. And don't you think Elliott and his agent know that?
Yeah.
They got all the hand in the world.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, they have it all. Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys open up against the Giants at home, and then they get the Redskins in Miami. Their first real tough test is going to be on the road at New Orleans in week 4 at the Dome coming up on Sunday. That's a Sunday night football game in week 4. They got a pretty easy schedule out of the gate, though. Maybe that's what the Cowboys are thinking. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Tasty Cake Dom on the finale.
Tasty Cake.
What's up, Domo?
Hey, Jay.
What's going on, man?
What's up, Tasty Cake?
Man, Ed, you talk about two great interviews in a row, Charlie and then Mike Scott. They were two great interviews in a row.
Probably, he was a lot of fun, wasn't he?
Oh, he was awesome. And my favorite part, Ant, watch this, Jace. I'm going to be you. You be Mike Scott. My favorite part of the interview. Ben Simmons.
Oh, man.
Right?
Is that what you're looking for?
When he did that, yes.
What did he do?
And played a word game.
He said Hall of Famer.
Said Hall of Famer.
Wow. Love it.
He said Hall of Famer.
And with Joe, he said Beast.
Beast.
Oh, he's right about that. Yeah, absolutely.
And then, Ant, you got me because you said Joel Embiid could be every bit of Wilt Chamberlain. That's what
modern day.
Yeah, like the modern day numbers.
Yeah, I know what you meant, but that's still pretty exciting.
I mean, he got me so excited. I was so fired up over that thing, Dommy. Like, they're going to be so good.
And we've been friends forever, right? You know me. I drive around in a 16-foot Eagles helmet. That's what I do every day of my life. But the confession and the violation is every week of every year of my life, Jace, I wait for the first week of September. That's my favorite year to week. Not this year. It's the last week of October. That's what I'm waiting for.
You're all pumped up for Sixers too. I love it, Tom.
Jace, I have. You said yesterday in 83. I'm more excited than 83. I've never been this excited about any team in my life, ever.
Yeah, 83. I was just 11, so like it wasn't registering like it does
they
now.
They are
me.
Way more. I like them way more than the 83 team. Now, that's crazy, but I actually am that much more excited.
Yeah, when the day they got Moses, I knew we were going to win a championship. I knew it. That's how much, you know, that's how.
Well, you remember, they were so close, right?
The player he is.
You remember, they were so close, and they just needed that one guy, right, to put him over the top. So,
to beat Boston, who I hate. And Jason, right. By the way, it's not even close. Boston. I hate Boston. I hate them.
Yeah, I hate them too, but I don't hate them at the same level. Because I don't hate the. I never really had this growing up hatred for the Red Sox because they were like almost like a lovable loser. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's never been a New York player ever that's been a more despicable scumbag than ML Carr. He's the most despicable human being on the face of earth. Had no basketball talent, no ability.
Yeah, see, but that's just, the thing. He had
like
no,
John Chaney said, he was a goon. That was all he was.
He was a goon.
I think he was six fouls.
Oh, that's thanks, Tom. Goon is one of the great words of sport. He's a goon. But ML Carr, like you say, he wasn't a great player. So those guys, you need the great players to be the ones you hate the most, right? You need those just dirt rats. Do we have McClain coming up, by the way? Jeff McClain's going to join us momentarily. But no, you got to have those.
He's a goon.
He's a bum. So somebody just alerted me to last week. Tony Bologna goes, he put a poll out. Or I guess we put a poll out last week that am I acting like the okay guy on that day? And 71% of the people said I was the okay guy the day after the 11 runs because I wasn't all on board and changing my expectations and getting my lawn chair ready for Broad Street. I got to play a message later in the show to you from the okay guy yesterday. He addressed all four sports and he flips around that dock like you wouldn't believe.
All right, well, we'll definitely do that. But right now he covers the Eagles.
I can't follow him close enough.
.com. He is terrific. Yep. He gets it done. Let's welcome Jeff McClain to the Comcast Business Hotline. What do you say, Jeff?
Hey, fellas. What's up?
So, what was your takeaway? So, pretty good rave reviews from the offense yesterday. It's a really good Ravens defense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I gave them rave reviews. Maybe others did. I thought they were, you know, it was good. I mean, right. I wouldn't say it was overwhelmingly in their favor. Again, that's a really good defense and a really good secondary. They had some moments. A few moments where I thought Carson Wentz could have gotten some help from the receivers, but for the most part, I think the Eagles came away feeling pretty good about the offense.
Who stood out to you?
Well, I mean, you got to start with the quarterback. I think Carson was better day two than he was day one. I think they were working on a little bit more of the kind of design train game on Tuesday, and on Monday, he aired it out a little more. So maybe the completion percentage wasn't as high on day one as it was on day two. A couple of those he could have hit. Guys were open on the downfield throws, but he also hit a few as well. It's tough to assess the run game when there's no tackling, but I thought Corey Clement stood out, partly because we just really haven't seen much of him. He's coming back from the knee injury, and when we have seen him, it's been like, sparingly here and there, and mostly with the second, third teams. But he got a lot of work with the first team and seemed very active. Miles Sanders, certainly, every time he touches the ball, you feel a little electricity in the air. So I thought he looked good as well. Alshon Jeffrey, don't have to worry about him. He was pretty much catching everything thrown in his direction. So I think that was that was basically the guys I think you stood out. The O-line did a solid job, I think, particularly on the edges. I don't think there was much given up there. So offensively, I think the Eagles feel pretty good about themselves.
Hey Jeff, when you look at Jeff McClain with us on the Comcast Business Hotline from the Inquirer.com, Jeff, the joint practices, and I know Doug spoke about it, that they are really advantageous. You can get a lot done. You can put your team in some situations that you really want to against a different opponent other than your own defense. And I guess Carson's not playing tomorrow night. I'm going to make that assumption. You can clarify that. But when you look at these joint practices, are they better for the team in preparation for a season than a game?
Well, to remark on your first comment, yeah, I agree. I don't think Carson's going to play on Thursday. I think that's kind of been where they've been going all along. Doug Peterson has pretty much intimated that the two practices against the Ravens would have been enough just to see Carson go up against another defense. It's a controlled environment. He's protected, but that's the risk you take by playing him in a preseason game. Is it worth it? And I, for the most part, agree with that.
I do too.
I just, what's to be gained? He's now in his fourth season. Yeah, I know he's coming off the back injury, but he's practicing a lot. It's just basically getting that first hit that you have to worry about. And that's going to happen. And that's going to happen in the game. And probably, 99 times out of 100, he's going to be fine. So I think that's the only kind of negative on that side of the ledger, by waiting too long. I mean, yeah, obviously you worry about rustiness, but, I think it may take only one drive for Carson to knock off that rust.
What's the one throw that you want to see him make consistently? I mean, obviously, the deep ball is we've always had that conversation with Carson.
Yeah, and I'm writing a story about that today.
Are you? Great timing.
Yeah, because again, it's been something that hasn't been a strong suit for Carson dating back to college, really, and. It's not just one type of deep throw. There's many different types of deep throws, and you got guys running deep posts, and you got guys running deep outs, and you got deep crossers, and you got all kinds of different. You got deep wheel routes.
Yeah.
And I think the deep ball necessarily isn't the problem. I think it's more kind of these touch passes, the touch deep. Maybe like not like, a 60-yard air out. It's more like a 30-yard kind of floater that when you got a guy releasing, that Carson sometimes doesn't have a good touch on. And, I asked Doug Peterson and Mike Rowe and also Carson about it. How do you balance putting a lot of arc under the ball, giving the receiver some air to run under it versus, waiting and using that arm strength that you have to kind of put it on a beeline to your guy. And I think that's something that Carson struggles with whereas you have guys like, let's say, Nick Foles, who I think the deep ball is probably one of the better parts of his game. He doesn't have Carson's arm strength. So I guess he naturally has to put some air under the ball. And that, in a lot of ways, benefits the receiver. So I think
because you're throwing more of a 50-50 ball. You're letting him go up and get it.
Yeah.
When you talk to Carson, does he throw, is he like a spot guy? Like, I'll see some of his sideline throws, if you look like Enzo, like he's a pylon guy, right? Like, so do you talk to him about those types of throws, like how he'll do, like what his confidence is to execute that play?
I think he's, again, like I think sometimes it's like the more difficult throws that he has more success with than the easier ones. And I wouldn't say easier, but the ones where you have a guy and you just gotta get it there. But whereas it's the one where like, okay, I gotta put some extra mustard on this baby and I got this little tiny hole I gotta throw it into. They're the ones where you just kind of like, whoa, they're the ones I think that always kind of raise eyebrows when you watch Carson throw. And I think they're the ones where it's just like, it's instinct. You just gotta do it and you have the athletic ability to do it. And that's where he thrives and that's what he can do that a lot of quarterbacks can't do.
But it's maybe the ones where you got to kind of think about it a little more, where you're like, oh, I got to put this in, and oh, boy, all of a sudden you're just kind of not doing what you typically would instinctively do.
It's like a power pitcher, man. He's got better accuracy when he's throwing hard. And that's the case for a lot of guys, and that touch is something maybe he can develop. But, hey, Jeff, real quick, to stay on the offensive side of the ball before we flip it over to the defense, and Vinny Curry is the guy I want to ask about eventually, but Josh McCown, will we see him this week? How's he grasping things here early? Why was he the choice to bring in?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt we're going to see him now on Thursday. I mean, he was doing a fair amount on Tuesday. So the first 2 days, not as much, than by Tuesday, he was running more the reps than Cody Kessler and Clayton Thorson with the second team. Again, they only ran two units against the Ravens. And already you see a drastic difference between McCown and Kessler and Thorson. You know, this is a bona fide NFL quarterback. Yeah, is he some stud? No. I mean, he's 40 years old. He's 18 years in this league. He's kind of like your typical journeyman backup quarterback who may give you a start here and there. And I think that's what the Eagles want. And that's why they like him. And that's why they brought him in. You have to be concerned about Nate Sudfeld, not only because of the injury, but also because you just haven't seen much of him. From what I've seen, I like Nate. I think there's some ability there, but there's also times where I just question whether he can be a guy that you can trust to throw out there in a pinch, or you can trust to throw out there for, let's say, Carson's gone for two games. Is he going to win, you know, one of those games? He'll take one of those games. Can he win one of those games? I don't know. You know, McCown, I don't know either, but I think McCown's at least done it before. You know, he's got, what, over 100 career starts, or not 100 career starts, but he's got like 80 career starts to his name, whereas Nate Sudfeld's only played, what, two games?
Got one touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Jeff, yeah, looking at the defensive side of the ball, I know Vinny Curry had an unlikely interception yesterday. I think he lateraled it old school style as well. How's he looked in his returns? He looked that rejuvenated to be back with the Eagles? Well, there's your answer.
Vinny's never been like the greatest practice player. He brings the energy, and I think that's great, and I think that's why you kind of like having him. Great locker room guy. You don't have to worry about him in terms of the culture. He does all the things that are asked of him. But he's never been, to me, kind of like an electric practice player. In terms of what's going to happen, so I can't really tell, you know, if all of a sudden he's going to be this big spark coming off the bench, which is something that he really never has done. I mean, he did early in his career, but, you know, as we got along, he was more of a starter. Is he going to be that explosive guy off, you know, coming in off the edge on third down like Chris Long was? I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's really his game. I think he's better. I think he's always been a little bit of more of a run guy than really a pass rusher. He's never had more than 4 sacks in a season in his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think, and I don't think he's ever really been an ideal 9 technique, you know, one of those wide 9 ends. And I think sometimes when Vinny plays the run, yeah, he's willing to take those risks and get out of his lanes and make plays, but sometimes that isn't within, you know, the structure of the defense. So I still have a lot of questions about the defensive end unit, whether they did the necessary stuff to upgrade it.
Yeah, I hear you. It's funny because, you know, so much is on Barnett. Like, because again, if he can get you double digit sacks, you're great. You know, but that's a big order, man. That's a tall order. We know,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, to me, he's the key the whole season from that position.
One. I mean, he may be number 2 after Carson.
I agree.
You know, you're asking him to come in, as you said, be a 10 sack guy, and that's a lot to ask of somebody who's really only played about a year and a half. Probably less than that already in his career. I think Barnett's going to be good. I like him. He's certainly got some skills, but can he carry that load like I don't even say an elite edge rusher, but just a guy that, you know, on the right side is going to give that left tackle an issue, you know, 9 times out of 10 rushes, you know, like he's going to bring it. He's going to bring the fire. And you know, a lot of times all you got to do is hit home once a game, and that's all that matters, even whether it's a sack or a force pressure that leads to a turnover. And he's working on that. He's obviously got that outside speed rush, but he has to develop a complement to that outside speed rush. We saw a really nice spin move during one of the 101 reps the other day from Derek, and that's something that we haven't really seen much of. The bull rush is something he's worked on. He needs to get stronger, and he knows that. So a lot is falling on his plate this year, and we'll see how he responds.
It's going to be look, you know, it's funny because what's inside is really good. And so you got to think they're going to be single on the outside a lot.
Absolutely. And that's, I mean, I think that's what they're, you know, so to their defense, that's how they're looking at this. Yeah, maybe we're not as strong at end with Michael Bennett being traded and Chris Long not coming back, but we're stronger in the interior in terms of our pass rush because we got Malik Jackson to complement with Fletcher Cox. And if Malik Jackson can get a double team, then you're freeing up Fletcher Cox. And if Fletcher Cox, as we know, is probably going to get most of the double teams, you have Malik Jackson one-on-one on a guy. And he certainly has the pass rush moves. We've seen that all throughout camp. And then you have Tim Jernigan as your third guy. Now, Tim's not really kind of a specialty rusher, but again, that's a pretty good third guy to come off the bench.
Last thing for me, Jeff. Sproles, real quick, what have you seen out of him?
Not much. I mean, he didn't play in the first day of scrimmages. Yesterday we saw a little more out of him. He still looks the same. He's not going to play on Thursday. He's not going to play in the final game either. They're just trying to get him to the regular season. I don't know how much we're going to see out of Sproles this year. He's on the team. I think it's more for punt return. They don't really have a guy. They didn't really do much there, and that's why they brought him back. You'll see him on third down, certainly. You still can trust him to go out there and protect the quarterback and catch balls out of the flat. But really, what have we seen out of him the last few years? Yeah, you know.
Can't stay healthy.
I mean, yeah, you know, besides the injuries, when he's been out there, he's been fine, but he hasn't been the explosive Sproles that we saw prior to all those injuries, you know, 36 years old. But he's a reliable guy. I think we're going to see him a fair amount. But look at the running back unit this year. You have Jordan Howard. You have Miles Sanders. You have Corey Clement coming back. And your top two rushers from last year, Josh Adams and Wendell Smallwood, they might not even make the team.
No. So,
it's crazy.
Now, we were talking about the array of backs. My God, those backs, man. Because they all do different things. Yeah. I'm a Clement fan, man. I think he gets the ball out of backfield, and he's a sturdy runner. I like him. He's a good role, but he's a really good back in that sense.
I think he's as a role guy, you like him because he's a good change of pace guy.
Yeah, I agree.
Anything more than that, because he's not really the greatest vision guy. So a lot of times he doesn't hit the hole, and that has, I think, bothered the Eagles in the past. But in terms of a change of pace guy to go out there, someone you trust to make a big play and catch the ball down the field, as we saw in the Super Bowl, Corey Clement can get the job done.
Yeah, I'm with you. Great stuff, man.
Hey, we'll be
as
following
always,
you.
Brother. Yeah. Great stuff.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff McClain.
Yeah, Comcast Business.
Inquire.
Does a great job.
Yeah.
Great job. I can't follow any of this Eagle stuff any closer because I can't stop looking at it. I'm so pumped up, man.
I know.
610-632-0975. Couple of lines with Jeff now off into the Eagle land. So we'll get to your phone calls and more here on the Midday Show. That's Anthony Gargano. It is Jason Martinez, and we're right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's talk a little bit about your roof. Yeah, that's right.
Anthony!
Roof. That's right. My man, Anthony Labruciano, the shingle master, the master. That's right, the five-star select shingle master. That's a title now. Listen, Labruciano Roofing and Exteriors, the best reviewed and rated roofer in the area. All right? I told you, Anthony Labruciano, five-star select shingle master. Did you know only a small percentage of roofers will ever achieve this status? The real impressive part is that Labruciano Roofing can give you a 50-year manufacturer's warranty, 25-year warranty on the workmanship. All right, you're not going to find a better warranty than that. Plus, they are five-star rated on Google reviews. Countless people praising their work, communication. You're not going to find a better company, Labruciano Roofing. You're not going to find better people. They are artists. For a free estimate, call Labruciano Roofing Exteriors today. 610-265-ROOF. That's 610-265-ROOF. Or visit them online. PARoofPros.com. That's PARoofPros.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
Our buddy Mike Missanelli.
pick an ass and take a name.
Vegas! Oh, my God.
All right, so you got a pretty cool list of the greatest players in the league, in the history of the league. I love all the, you know what, one thing, I love all the 100-year celebration stuff.
And there's no league that deserves it as much as the NFL.
I know.
100 years of NFL, it's the 100th season, it's set to begin. So there's all kinds of debates, and, you know, and comparing eras is always tough because the game evolves, you know, the amount of, you know, maybe for lack of a better term, commitment of the athletes changes because situations change. They get paid so much now, mm-hmm. they don't have to work a steel mill job in the off season or whatever it is, right? So it's hard to compare, but it's fun to debate the greatest at each position. So ESPN.com put out this story. Jeff Legwald at ESPN put this story together and ranked the best players in the history of the game, 100 years at every position. Now, some of these names are pretty old school, but most of them, if you've been following the NFL for any recent period of time, you'll know them. And if you don't know the name at the top of the list, you'll certainly know some of the pseudo honorable mentions. So let me give you a couple. Let me put you to the test. Let's start right at the King of the Hill, at the most important position in football. And of course, that's quarterback. The best quarterback of all time in the NFL is
Brady.
It is Brady. And he has stats that matter. 207 career regular season wins. 517 career TD passes.
That's incredible.
He says this is unsurpassingly the most difficult position to pick just one player, but Brady is a 14-time Pro Bowl selection.
Look at those numbers.
14-time Pro Bowl selection, a 6-time Super Bowl winner on teams that will feature far fewer Hall of Famers than those of the many other marquee quarterbacks. He threw 4,355 yards and won a Super Bowl at age 41. He played his best in the biggest moments and has been the driving on-field force for teams that have won at least 12 games 11 times.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, my goodness. Now, the
you know what's nuts when you think about it? That, you know, you go back to, like, ancient history. We think about 04. That feels forever ago.
It's a lifetime ago.
And he's still playing.
He's still playing. And not only that, but at 41 last year when they won the Super Bowl, he threw for 4,355 yards. He was in his prime in 04.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Right? The other guys that you could just say start the argument with, I guess the honorable mentions, Johnny Unitas of the Colts, John Elway of the Broncos, Peyton Manning, and Joe Montana. No arguments there. That is a hell of a group of quarterbacks, but the top of the list there is Tom Brady. I can't make the case for any of those other guys to surpass what he's done.
Just for grins, we should do, all right, if you go team by team, I go, let's start in the East, right?
Greatest quarterback from each team?
Yeah.
All right, let's start with Washington. The greatest quarterback has got to be Theismann or Sonny Jurgensen?
Yeah, you probably have to go way back.
Yeah.
But if you go modern history, after Theismann, what did you have?
Well, they had three different guys that won three different Super Bowls. Doug Williams, Mark Rippon, three guys with Theismann.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible, right?
No, I know, but you look at that position for them.
Yeah.
You had before Theismann, you had Bill Kilmer.
Yeah.
Look at that position for them. It's been horrible.
And hence why that franchise is eternal.
And think about it, they missed Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing.
Who's even going to start for them, man?
It's amazing story. How bad they are. Like, they're an atrocious run team.
Yeah. Since Dan Snyder's taken over, they've been a disgrace. One mess after another. RG3, the handling of RG3. And you thought he was going to be legit.
Well, look the way they handled the Cousins contract.
Mm-hmm.
They caught themselves.
They're franchising them. I don't even know who their starter is this year.
Yeah, I got news for you. And the kid is a project.
Yeah. Is it going to be Colt McCoy? Case Keenum?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911.
Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.